Well, I am so glad to see you on this Wednesday evening. We are in our stewardship series regarding stewarding life. And we are specifically at stewarding friendship. Now, you may not have been here last week, or you may not have your outline with you, but I really want to make that available to you. If I could get a couple guys that'll get ready, Wes, if you can help out, and Mike, just get a couple of those ready. Anybody need a handout just to fill in the blank outline, and we'll make those ready to you. Everybody's pretty much already got one. Great. Good. Oh, Antonio needs one. We'll get Bradley and Riley. Get them one. That'll be great. And so we're picking up. We had a couple more just come in. Make sure we get them one. That is wonderful. So that's our outline. We began. And so if you would go with me to in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 there in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there to Ephesians chapter 4, just want to give a quick update, testimony on Good News Club. We had a great group of kids again in the gymnasium, and today was a special day. We call it our review day. And so what we get to do is ask them questions. How many weeks we've been at it now? This was number 6, so this was the 6th week, and we get to ask them questions from all the Bible messages that we've given them, and they did really well. I mean, they were, didn't y'all think they were doing good? I mean, they were doing good. Now, they had a little motivation. There's this game that we play with them on review days. We do a review about every 6 weeks, and it's called Zonk. Has anybody ever played Zonk? Hey, Zonk, you talking about you want to see some kids get fired up? It's like the miniature version of like Wheel of Fortune. I mean, it's little people. I mean, they get excited about picking the right ones after they've given the right answer. And they start picking. And it's got points on the side. Well, here's the thing. You watch them. They pick it, but there's several of the little papers that they pull off the board that have Zonk on the back. And if they pick Zonk, it wipes out all the points they had previously. So it's funny watching them. You know, you get a kid that gets 500, their eyes get real big. Whoa! And everybody's cheering them on. It's like, you want to get another one? Yeah, I'll get another one. It was so funny. I got to tell this. We had this little boy named Jared. What grade's Jared in? He's like a first, second grader. He's about this tall. I'm not kidding. I mean, the guy is so short, but that boy, rarely do you get two, at least three without hitting a Zonk, all right? I mean, you get three. That boy got 5 in a row and of points, 100, 200, 400, 500. And boy, he was getting ready to get 7. And all his friends were like, no! It was fun. I guess you had to be there. But anyway, it was funny for us, and we enjoyed it. But it just is encouraging to see that the kids are soaking up the Word of God. It's good to see that the Lord's working in their lives, and we're planting seeds right there, folks. And I'm telling you, I hope you never get discouraged in sowing the seeds of the Word of God. Never get discouraged. Don't get weary. Because that's mainly what we're doing. Now, God lets us water and He lets us see increase from time to time. But the main ministry of a child of God is sowing and watering. Just remember that. That's what we want to be faithful with. Don't get discouraged when you don't see the fruit you would like to. No, don't do that. You just stay faithful in watering, sowing and watering. And God will give the increase. Amen. So anyway, just wanted to give you an update on that. And of course, they had some extra energy because they hadn't been outside playing the past couple of days, obviously, with the weather. But we held up, and so thankful for our volunteers. And I can't, you know, ask you for prayer enough to pray for our volunteers. And we are just trusting God to meet the needs. Our newest member, Miss Kathy Lester, is there helping this year. She's doing a phenomenal job. You pray for her. She's going to be teaching on Daniel. She's actually going to hop in on the teaching rotation. So we'll be praying for her and all the other members. We're just grateful for what God is doing. Ephesians chapter 4. This topic is so important for us as believers to remember when it comes to our relationships and when it comes to stewarding relationships, especially in the context of friendship. Now, this lesson can really be applied to any relationship. Friends, spouse, marital, anything, you can apply it. We did some of that last week. But let's, over a quick review, let's read a few of these verses, and then we will have a quick overview. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Lord, lead us, would you, Holy Spirit, in this Bible study. Please help us to grow in grace. Lord, convict us where we are negligent or perhaps indulgent. Lord, I pray that we would have the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives. That's what we want, Lord. So, God, help us tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stewarding friendships is the topic that we have looked at last week. If you have your outline, we talked about, first of all, stewarding with truth in our friendships. You cannot have a true friendship without truth. You just can't. It cannot exist. There has to be a genuineness. There has to be a sincerity there. There has to be a truth. Truth of who you are and the truth of God's Word and the truth who God is. We base our whole lives on the truth of the Word of God and Jesus specifically, because He says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. And we know Jesus is truth. And so we know that we're going to have to vanquish. That's the letter A there. We have to vanquish lying. Put it away. Do away with it. And we talked about how even little lies are so dangerous, being deceptive, things that we say sometimes and we say without thinking. I had that happen to me recently. I said something without really thinking it through really well. And I got to thinking about it later. And I'm like, you know what? That was not complete. That was really not accurate. That could be a little deceiving. And so I got under conviction. I called that person. I said, look, I feel like I misled you on something I said. And the Lord used it because it was actually the night that I did this lesson. So I feel like I was fresh under this truth. But it just reminded me, the Lord reminded me that, you know what? The things we say, we need to be truthful. And if we find ourselves at some point stretching the truth or misleading someone, we just need to repent and be right with the Lord. Just do away with it. And then secondly, letter B, it's just valuing truth. How much do we value the truth? And you know, we'll talk about more about trust here in a minute, but does anybody remember, and I know there's going to be at least one here that will remember this. According to this passage that we just read and what we talked about last week, what is truth's best friend? Anybody remember? What is truth's best friend? When you are showing truth, you said it, love. Truth love is truth's best friend. You can have truth and you can have no love. But God says they are to be together. And in order to be a good friend and to look for good friends, you're gonna be looking for that. Someone that is truthful, yes, but if you've got somebody that's truthful and there's no love there, it's not gonna be a good friend. And if you're that way, if you just tell people the truth and you don't have the love of Jesus, flowing through you, you're not going to probably be a good friend or a good spouse or whatever. But we want both, don't we? We really do. And so that was valuing truth. And so tonight we're going to look at stewarding with trust. Stewarding with trust. That's going to be your Roman numeral 2 there. Stewarding with trust. Now, as we dive into this section, we know that a foundation without which a friendship will ever last is trust. It is. It's, you have to have that. True friendship is built on trust. And we know that even Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But here's one thing that we're going to look at tonight. What destroys trust? Well, one thing that will destroy trust is anger. Anger destroys trust. That's letter A. Anger destroys trust. Just as truth builds, anger destroys. We've got to get a hold of this as God's children, because anger is a very real thing in each of our lives. We all express it in different ways, but every person in this room will struggle with anger at some point. And we got to call it what it is. It's sin. It's not, I just lost my temper. It's not, I'm just frustrated. We just call it what it is. It's a spirit of anger. And we got to deal with it, because we're not going to be good friends if we allow anger to control our lives. And so let's be just very matter of fact, because anger has been a great destroyer to many relationships, many parent-child relationships, many husband and wife relationships. It's destroyed many. It's destroyed churches. Anger is a very dangerous thing. And so why don't we look at it? Look at what the Word says, Ephesians 4:26, there in your text. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We'll look at more of that here in just a second. But notice in verse 31, God defines this crippling anger in six subsets, if you will. Notice there, if you got your Bible open or it's on your handout as well, notice how there are six subsets of anger. All right, let's look at the first one. He says, let all bitterness. That's one. Wrath is two. Anger is three. Clamor is four. Evil speaking is five. And malice at the end is six. What are all of these? Well, bitterness has the idea of a cutting anger. In fact, the root word of that is meant to prick or cut. And you will see it easily come out in a person's life when it's there. You can't hide bitterness. It's impossible. It's impossible. What about the other one? Wrath. This refers to the passion of anger. You know, just it is expressed in its emotion. That is there, and it can happen to any of us at any moment of any day. It all hits us differently. So I hope no one here thinks that they are innocent of these characteristics, because at some point it will come up, and your flesh, this is what your flesh wants to do. This is how the flesh responds. What about anger? That's the third one there. This is a can basically be an angry outburst. You see it when a person is really, get this, is frustrated in life in general. I'm just going to use myself as an example. If y'all can just pray for me better. But you know, I can tell if I'm just frustrated in general with some things in life and I'm not looking at it and with a good spirit, I find myself being really short or rather harsh with my children. That is anger. It's sin. And it will come out in that way. And sometimes it'll just come out in a moment of explosion because it's maybe been building up. But it comes from a dissatisfaction with life and ultimately just with the Lord. And we don't say that, but that's what it comes down to. What about clamor? Now, this is just basically noisy complaining is what clamor, like basically a critical spirit. I've had that. You have, too. Maybe you had it today. I don't know. But it's often creeps up in the Christian's life. And here's where basically you can see it. Nothing is ever right. It just everything's going wrong. But this is the thing. And this is where I believe it is for me. It's not that everything's going wrong. Get it. It's that I have a wrong spirit. Can I say that again? It's not that everything is going wrong. It's I have a wrong spirit. So we have to recognize that, don't we? What about evil speaking? Number five, evil speaking. This is basically slander. This this is something we're really, man, this is really big in our home right now, especially with our kids. And sometimes they do it in the name of joking, but the way they talk down to each other disparagingly and discouraging, and it's just like constant. And we're trying to encourage them to know and correct them. No, that's not the right thing to say. That's not the way you treat each other. But we can do it too. Somebody says something positive. I'm glad we got some rain today. And then that person would be like, oh man, that just makes everything messy and nasty, you know. Or you just, that person many times will just negate something that was uplifting, encouraging. Well, a person with evil speaking is not somebody that's just necessarily using profanity all the time. It can mean that, but it can just be just a putting someone down, others down, situations down, the way things are carried out. It's just evil speaking. And I just want to encourage you, as an employer in your workplace or as a student, do your best as a Christian to be not the one that is complaining. If you have a situation with your boss, I encourage you to go directly to them. Don't talk to the other coworkers about how that person's doing a terrible job. And without at least first going to them and saying, look, here's a situation. Look, I just want to come to you. I'm burdened about this. Talk to them about it. But many times the flesh would rather have evil speaking. And that's no friend. We're just not going to be that way as Christians. But then number six, there's malice. This is a specific desire to malign someone's name, almost like backstabbing on purpose. And, as I've looked at these, this is something that really stood out to me. This is where we got to be careful. These characteristics are easy to detect in others, but they're harder to detect in our own lives. And that's where we got to be, oh God. Please, if I'm being any of these, please show me, help me to have a friend, a spouse that's going to be honest with me, because I don't want to live my life this way. That's not the kind of Christian I want to be. It's not the kind of friend I want to be. It's not the kind of dad I want to be. It's certainly not the kind of husband or the kind of pastor I want to be. And so we must deal with that. We must regularly ask the Lord to help us guard against anger. And by the way, when choosing friends, be careful about choosing friends with people that are constantly doing all these things, because the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. Why does the Bible say that? Because it says, or with a furious man, because it says, lest thou learn his ways and it get a snare to thy soul. So it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to influence and encourage someone maybe that's got that angry spirit, but at the same time, don't make it your best bud, by all means, because it's going to rub off on you. And you just trust the Lord to just pray for them and pray for your own heart. Because here's the thing, anger is a natural response of the flesh. And in the moment we use it, it feels so good. It's like, you feel like you're accomplishing some things. But this is what the Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It just doesn't do any good. So what does the Bible say when it says, be ye angry and sin not? What is that? Sounds kind of contradictory, right? It's like, oh, so I can be angry? Well, yes. But I believe this is what this verse is teaching. When it's talking about the idea of the sun going down on your wrath, it's not saying, well, you can be angry for a little while, but this is what it's saying. If when you get angry, and you will get angry, you demonstrate it maybe differently than I do, but everybody in this room is going to be angry at some point or another each day. If not every day, every other day, at some point. The question is, how do you handle it? And I believe this verse is teaching that anger can be prevented from realizing it. It cannot stick around. You got to get it right. That means confessing it to the Lord and repenting and just realizing, I can't go on. I can't even go to sleep like this. This is wrong. I just can't do it. I'm going to be right with God. I was angry and I was wrong and I'm going to get it right. And then you just go to bed. Because if you don't, verse 27 is where you are opening up your life to the devil. Now, this is very serious, and I'm not trying to get too heavy on a Wednesday night. Please understand. I love you and you love me. But I got to be honest with you. When you do not handle anger in the way God tells you to, you are opening up your life to the devil. Now, look, I don't believe you can be possessed as a believer. But I believe you can be heavily oppressed. And get this, I'll take it another step. I believe you can give the devil a stronghold in your life. Because that's what the place means. When the Bible says right there in your Bible, neither give place, that is saying don't give him a place of authority. Don't give him a place of strategic position in your life to keep you gripped. No. No, you get rid of that anger and confess it and say, God, that was wrong. I'm humbling myself. I don't want to be an angry person. That's the way we're going to fight it. And so let's be honest about that. Prolonged anger will lead to bitterness. And then you just, again, open yourself up to the destructive tactics of Satan. Notice that verse there in Hebrews 12:15. It refers to bitterness as a troubling, defiling root. It's written there in your outline, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In closing, I think the verses there in your outline, 2 Corinthians 2:10-11, look what was going on. And this was in the context of somebody that had sinned in the church. There was some sexual immorality that was taking place, but the person had repented and gotten right with God. And Paul's promoting forgiveness here in the church. But no, I'll read it. It says here, Paul says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to him I forgave it. For your sakes forgave I it and the person of Christ. Forgiveness is mentioned there 5 times in that one verse. Paul says, look, we got to forgive. Why? Because notice verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, and we are not ignorant of his devices. Church, if there's something you can remember tonight that I say, I pray it would be this. I pray that it would be in the subject of forgiveness. Many times we can be greatly offended. People hurt us, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. But this verse settled it for me. What I just read, verse 10, where Paul says, I forgave you in Christ. Basically, what he's saying there is what I believe is the key. You can't forgive people, but Jesus can. And Jesus is in you. And you, when you forgive someone, you are saying, Jesus, you're forgiving them because your life, you and I are one now, and you live in me, and you forgive them through me. It's the Jesus life through you. That will bring healing. It's Him. It's Him that's forgiving. It's not your flesh. Your flesh is holding grudges. Your flesh is... I mean, this is what anger does. Notice some of these faces. Maybe you've had these. Maybe, I don't know. Can we show a couple of those? Now, anger faces are rather scary, aren't they? Sometimes you don't realize it. There's one. What about another one? Let's just go through these. There's another one. Oh, now that was kind of scary right there, isn't it? Oh, my. I want to be on the other end of that. All right. What else? Oh, I'll tell you what. That's not a happy mother right there. What else? Oh, yes. But you know, there's another one that I'd like to show you, that the truth is anger starts very young, doesn't it? And just on a lighthearted note, I got to show you this picture here. Look at that one right there. We don't have to teach them to be angry, do we? We don't. It comes natural to all of us. And everybody in this room has a battle with anger if you're honest. And what we got to do is be filled with the Spirit. If we want to be the right kind of friends, if we want to be trustworthy, let's be people who forgive. Let's don't give place to Satan. Let's don't hold grudges, resentment. Let's let Jesus forgive. And let's have marriages that are harmonious, friendships that are strong, because we do forgive, we do encourage, and we let the Lord live through us. Let's pray.